activity on my channel always spikes around cons. So, because it's been a little while since I've been to a convention and been active doing panels and such, since recording and posting panels that I do is always a huge part of it. And I still have, I have panel footage from CurrentEchoCon, another Miraculous Ladybug panel, which people have not let me forget about. But I haven't posted it yet because the audio was really tricky in the auditorium that we were in, so I have to figure out how to make it audible and understandable for people. I may have to subtitle it manually myself, every single thing we say, which will take a long time, but people will actually understand.
I love your enthusiasm and I love your passion for what you do. It's really just remarkable. And you've got a huge following and it's well deserved.
That's really sweet of you to say.
I'm Gregory Day. This is PDXPodcast.com.
At the top of the show, you heard Uptown Cosplay on their very popular YouTube page. At CurrentEchoCon 2018, Uptown Cosplay performed in the convention's first ever lip sync event as LOTOR. You can catch video of Uptown's take on Believer by Imagine Dragons on the insanely popular Uptown Cosplay YouTube page. In the following, Uptown touches on the recent YouTube costume review video, Cosplay War Spider-Man Infinity War Costume.
It's a really cool thing that a lot of these companies that make cosplay costumes will do is when they're out looking for cosplayers or, you know, social media influencers to sponsor their costumes to, in order to, you know, get the best review, but also to just satisfy their customers as much as they can, they'll offer to do custom measurements.
It's remarkable. It fit you so well just out of the box.
I know. I was really shocked, incredible, too, because I have kind of atypical proportions in some ways, which I talk about a lot in my videos.
Right.
I have freakishly long arms and really broad shoulders, and a lot of costumes just don't quite take that into account, but this one actually worked really well.
Right. Yes, you do have broad shoulders. But yeah, it fit very well with just some minor adjustments that you're going to have to make because you're a professional.
Well, define professional. All in the eye of the beholder,
or a perfectionist,
I guess.
Is what you
perfectionist.
Say.
That makes perfect sense.
That was really funny. You dress up in your apartment and the people walking by seeing Spider-Man. You look like Spider-Man.
Thank you. So far I haven't been caught red-handed in costumes by many people in my apartment complex where I live, but I haven't been able to keep it under wraps necessarily, because, you know, you can imagine any weekend that I have to leave town or start driving to a convention, I'm dragging suitcase after suitcase and, you know, severed wig heads with wigs on them into the parking lot, and people give me the weirdest looks. They're like, what is that kid doing?
What I really appreciated is that you could see out this costume. I mean, how far could you see out those eyes, those Spider-Man eyes?
Honestly, my vision was not impaired nearly as much as I thought it might be.
Really?
Yeah, from the outside, you know, just looking back in the viewfinder of the camera when filming that review, you know, I couldn't see my own eyes at all, but I could see out of the mask just fine. There was, you know, things looked maybe a bit cloudy just from the white sort of dots that they have to put over the lenses.
Great.
But yeah, so I could probably maneuver around a con and not run into anybody, which is always a good thing.
No, it is. And you can use your phone with this costume on.
Yes, that's such a plus. That's such a plus. Whenever I have to make a bodysuit, that's one of the first things I test on fabrics, too. Just going through the fabric stores, just stretch it over my finger and to touch my own phone to see if I'll actually be able to contact human beings.
Right, because otherwise you'd die.
Yes.
It's a bodysuit, this Spider-Man bodysuit, and you had to adjust it to put on something for the feet, right?
Yeah, I haven't done that yet, but people have done it a number of different ways. YouTube has become such an excellent resource, not just for entertainment value, but also for people just looking to know how to do things.
It's true.
Yeah, like you can, it's basically like Google, but it just takes you straight to the video portion, and so I've seen a lot of other cosplayers doing, you know, walkthroughs on, you know, how to make this costume for this character. And a lot of times, whenever there's a bodysuit involved, putting shoe soles on the bottom so that you can actually walk outside and not rip up the suit.
How do you do that? Glue?
But it's more the type of glue. And it's interesting because I've seen different cosplayers have different success with different kinds of adhesives. One person that I remember most actually used hot glue, which was kind of interesting because to protect themselves from the hot glue, obviously they had to wear like 3 pairs of socks, put their feet in a plastic bag, and then wear the suit while they stepped on the shoe soles with hot glue all over them, and then they just stood there until it dried. Some people have also had success with fabric glue, but I think it's just very subjective depending on specifically the fabric that your suit is made of, the environment, because some glues cure faster in certain different kinds of weather. It all depends on your project, so you just kind of have to see what works.
Well, that's a big part of it, because, you know, if your feet are not comfortable, you're not going to have a fun time at the con.
Oh, you have... Talk to any cosplayer at any con, and they will tell you how much of a godsend or how much of a curse the pair of shoes that they're wearing is. Footwear is so important, and it's very common for, you know, people who cosplay competitively and do cosplay contests will often have 2 versions of their costume. One that they wear just walking around the hallways, you know, getting stopped for pictures in the general con space, and then they have another version that's very souped up, very detailed, very character accurate, but often really hard to move in, that they use for the actual competitive side.
Right. No, that makes total sense. By the way, your Kyushu was the best ever cosplay I've seen you do.
Thank you so
much. It's absolutely remarkable. Beautiful.
I actually really enjoyed making that costume and also wearing it. Tokyo Mew Mew, the series that this character is from, a very old kind of classic gateway series for a lot of people, probably in the 90s or so. It was the second manga comic book series that I ever read. And... it's a throwback for me for sure. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, it's a throwback for a lot of other people too. When I debuted the costume first time at SakuraCon, which is in Seattle, Washington, I had expected, you know, some positive reception of just some people that maybe enjoyed it because they were like, oh, that was my first anime
too. You instantly ran into a fan. On your vlog.
I did, and...
Thought that was funny.
It was...
Almost instantly, as soon as you get down off the escalator...
It's, as time has gone on, that's happened a lot more and more over time of just, you know, I'll be in a con center for barely 10 minutes and I'll get swarmed by people, which is, you know, interacting with people is a wonderful thing and I love it so much, but it's interesting just to look back on going to cons as a beginning cosplayer myself and then to stand here now where it's hard to walk across the con center without getting stopped 50 plus times, and it blows my mind how much positive reception and support there is out there. So many of the people that I meet are just such darling human beings, and it's a very humbling thing to meet those people in person, because, you know, you sit around in your own apartment and you film things for YouTube or you have photo shoots done, you post stuff to Instagram and whatnot. And you see comments come in that are in real time and you get to reply and interact with people, but it's just so disconnected sometimes because you don't have a face, you don't have a name other than a username handle to put to these people.
I had this so much from people who are big online.
Yeah, and I'd always heard it too from people that I looked up to, and being in that position now, again, it's just a really surreal, humbling thing to meet these people in real life and hear their stories of, wow, you know, I... heard about you this way, I watch your videos and they help me, they inspire me, all these crazy things where, like, I do this for fun, it's a hobby, I don't really make that much of a profit off of it at all, I'm still just a regular, I'm a college kid, and these people have put me on this weird, crazy pedestal, and what I do for fun inspires them in so many deep ways that I never imagined that I could touch lives like that.
How do you talk with fangs on? Is that a skill that you've developed over the years?
A skill of how to talk to these
with
people?
Fangs?
Fangs. Oh, boy. I'm still learning. It is a skill, but I'm definitely...
An admirable job.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to do it again at KomoriCon, too, and I'm not looking forward to it. And some people just innately have this talent to speak with prosthetic teeth and not have a lisp. I don't know how they do it. I don't understand.
It's remarkable.
It's crazy. I can't... Even after wearing fangs for an entire day, progressively as the hours go by, I will get better.
The
lisp will get less. But it's always there, and I'm always very self-conscious about it. It affects your bite, too. Like, you don't notice it while you're wearing the teeth because you get more of an overbite with the fangs because you have to adjust for something extra in your mouth. And then taking the fangs off after wearing them for even of just a few hours, your jaw, you can tell, it's just sore and it feels it where it's like, oh, I've been sitting in a different position for hours and I didn't even know.
There was a guy doing custom fangs at SakuraCon.
Oh gosh, that looked so amazing. I've seen a couple people have booths doing that in like vendors' halls and artist alleys and such, and I can imagine there'd be a very popular niche market for those kinds of things, for someone to sit down and make custom like sets of full teeth or just fangs for somebody.
When I first connected with you, I know we talked about the reviews for wigs.
Mm-hmm.
You've expanded this some. You're doing fragrance.
Yeah, that was an unexpected email that I got from Scentbird. And I'd always been interested in fragrances. Like growing up, I was always just kind of irritated by them because there'd be those gals at the mall who would shove these sample
smelling
sticks
like
under
bubble
your...
gum.
Yeah, and but then. I think I talked about it in the review where my elder sister got me a cologne. I think it was for my birthday one year, and it actually smelled amazing. And ever since that time, it was maybe a couple years ago, I was really fascinated and just curious about knowing more about fragrances. And then lo and behold, Scentbird, this fragrance subscription company, emails me and is like, hey, I want to try a free perfume or cologne thing. And it was an interesting opportunity to do a bunch of my own homework and research so that I could try to pass on some knowledge to some other fellow fragrance, whatever the plural is for ignoramus.
Right. So what did you learn about the fragrance industry?
That there's a lot more to it than a lot of people talk about.
I believe it.
Yeah, there's...
It's big business.
It is. Apparently, some colognes and perfumes and fragrances in general are designed specifically for different seasons because scents are affected
by the
weather. Whether it's like the air around you is hot or cold, it can change the way something smells and it can change how pungent it is as well.
Right.
So if you wore a winter scent in the summer, you know, you might suffocate people around you and they might just get really overpowered by it. There's like all these top notes and bottom notes, and note is apparently just a really fancy word for ingredient, apparently. So if it's like, it has top notes of vanilla.
What a great way to phrase it.
Yeah,
I like that.
They have their whole lingo. And
like wine, almost.
It, yes, actually. That's a fair comparison. I'm thankful that, you know, there are companies out there that will take a chance on, you know, random nerdy cosplayers like
you're
myself
an influencer,
on YouTube.
So it makes sense.
It's nice that companies do
and
that.
You're very honest too.
I try to be. That's one of the things that I pride myself most in my reviews is just to be 100% honest. Even if a company like straight up sponsors a review and will pay me to do it, yeah. I'm not gonna sugarcoat for viewer's sake. I'll be honest. And thankfully,
very thorough.
I try to be. Because I've watched a lot of reviews. I've been a passionate YouTube watcher. I've been on that side of
passionate
the screen.
YouTube watcher.
Yeah, like going through, and like now in my senior year of college, I have much less time to do it than I used to. But, you know, I'm subscribed to tons of different people on YouTube and I watch all different kinds of content. So I've seen people do reviews for a lot of different things. And one of the things that I always just noticed and sort of got wistful about was that some people just didn't spend a lot of time talking about different aspects of a product that I wished I knew more about. Because being on the viewership side of things, you don't always know very much about a product that an influencer is talking about, and sometimes you're watching it not just to be entertained by somebody that you look up to, but also just to be educated in something.
You went to SakuraCon not doing any panels. You went to have fun.
I did. I went as a quote normal unquote con goer, as close to it as I can get nowadays. And the only
you
way
had some great looks. Three distinctive looks.
Three distinct cosplays. That's my kind of favorite thing to do is to just bring, because most conventions are 3-day weekends. And
what was the faux leather jacket character?
That was actually Damon from The Vampire Diaries.
Oh. Okay.
One of those older kind of 2000s.
The CW?
Yeah. One of those old 2000s fantasy.
You're a big fan of the
teen
CW?
Romance things. Oddly enough, no. Like, I'm actually not a huge television watcher in general. But Keon Cloud, my fellow cosplayer and significant other, and I were watching the show at the time just to have something to watch in the background while we worked on stuff. And, you know, we were sitting there and thought, huh, you know, these two characters, Damon and Elena, they'd be really quick, easy cosplays to do. And we were...
Subtle.
Yes, they were very subtle, kind of low-key and almost incognito in a way. And it was kind of a social experiment, too, just to see how many people would recognize us as the characters and not just as, oh my gosh, Uptown Cosplay and Keon Cloud. You know, it was kind of an interesting thing. So Keon Cloud is another cosplayer, and I've been in a relationship with them for... Wow, this is embarrassing. For, like, not quite 2 years. But we live together, and we actually met through Instagram, which I guess is how a lot of people meet these days, through social media and such.
Well, I'm really out of it.
I guess it's just one of those, like, oh, the trends of the youth, you know.
It's huge. You're hugely popular on Instagram.
It's one of my two biggest platforms, yeah. YouTube being the largest and then Instagram being kind of the runner-up. I mean, I don't really do much on Facebook or any of the other popular ones. I like to keep it concise. But yeah, Keon Cloud and I have been going to cons together ever since we got together, and a little bit before, once we became friends first. It's funny because we found each other's Instagram profiles and we were actually very unenthused by each other's cosplays at first. Yeah, we were like, oh, they seem like a cool person, but their cosplays aren't that good.
Both of you were not that impressed with each other?
Yeah, neither of us really looked at each other as, wow, that's a really good cosplayer. We never had that reaction about each other initially. But we had, like, we just started messaging each other one day and just started talking over Instagram, and then we started building a kind of a circle of mutual friends through that, and we would have Skype calls together as just like groups of friends, not even about cosplay or anything, just as people. And then they ended up staying at my parents' house, which was close to a convention we were going to, and over that weekend we decided that maybe friendship was not quite what the feelings were after all. So since then, it's been us. And ourselves and our supporters have now come up with the ship name for us, Uptown Cloud, as a result.
That's great. You got a nickname, that's great.
I've been going to KomoriCon every single year since 2012, which was the very first year that I began cosplaying. And so last year they invited me as a guest of honor, which was incredible to go back to my home con that has a special place in my heart as a guest, as opposed to just a regular attendee. And then they asked me back this year, and Keon Cloud is actually going to be guesting there as well. So the both of us will be doing the guesting thing together.
Are you going to be doing any of the lip syncing?
Yes, the Cosplay Lip Sync Showdown, which is the event that my...
Showdown!
Sounds so intense! My co-host Mama Samu and I will be hosting again this year. Last year was our first year bringing it to the convention, and it was a huge success. So the con asked us to keep it running. So it's now our baby, and we're going to keep it strong.
The crowd loves this event.
They really do. It's honestly, I'm baffled why more conventions don't do it. It's such a good main event to have.
Theatrical.
It is. It's great.
I think the long arms really help for the theatrical.
That's true. It's good for watching it. It's good for being in it.
Yeah.
It's from every side of that event. It's just a whole load of fun.
Very expressive with your arms. That's great.
Yes.
Kimura Con Light, you did the Look Dreary lip sync at that, and that went down very well. There's a video of it.
It did. Yeah. So Kimura Con Light is the one day.
It was a one-day event. Okay.
It was a one-day event that was basically it's KomoriCon, the convention that's happening at the end of October, but it's basically their one-day event to give people a cosplay fix midway through the year, and also to sort of promo themselves a bit more for people who might want to come to the full-size convention later on.
Right. Right.
So
makes sense.
Yeah. So Mama Samu and I hosted the Cosplay Lip Sync Showdown sort of in a downsized quick mini format at Kimura Con Light. And we actually were able to use it kind of as a double function where people who participated in that lip sync at the Light event could also use that as their audition to enter into the full size Cosplay Lip Sync Showdown. Because starting this year, we started doing a new format where to sort of cycle in new people, keep old fan favorites, and to sort of heighten the overall entertainment and production value of the event, we've actually started doing it on an audition basis.
Yeah, production value is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's next for you after Kimura Con? You got to...
After Kimura Con, honestly...
Graduate college.
Yes. I'm actually in my last term right now, so graduating is just around the corner, finally, so that's exciting. Yeah.
Wow. That is exciting.
Yeah.
You're going to stay in Portland, or...?
No idea. No clue. It depends just kind of where Keon Cloud and I end up deciding we want to go to next. We do adore the Pacific Northwest, though, so I don't know if we'll be able to bear leaving it. So we'll see.
But as far as events go, you're still...
As far as events, I mean, hopefully still going to a lot of these cons that I've grown to just know and love so much. Kuroneko Con up in Spokane, Washington is a lovely con.
Yes, and you mentioned this. Now, did you do a lip sync battle there too?
I did. Okay. Let's see, last year...
Where is Kuroneko Con? Where is that?
In Spokane, Washington.
Spokane.
Yeah, up in Spokane.
There's a big scene there? Spokane, Washington?
No. It's actually a considerably smaller convention than, say, Kimura Con, and drastically smaller than Sakura Con, because Sakura Con, you know, has upwards of 26,000 attendees. Kimura Con has upwards of 7,000 about. And then Kuroneko, maybe 3,000.
What enthusiastic people at this event.
Very. The Kuroneko Con is just full of a lot of really excited, happy, positive people, and it's a really good community atmosphere there, which is one of the reasons I really love it so much.
What is a community? I really get that sense from your videos, your interaction. It's a community. It's very close.
It is. We.
And believe me, you get a lot of attention on these podcasts. Our last podcast we did. Huge.
Really?
It was even bigger than Henry Rollins. Yeah, your numbers were amazing.
Wow, I'm shocked by that.
One of our biggest podcasts ever.
It's
very
crazy.
Interested to hear more.
I don't know how I deserve all of these amazing people that support what I do every day, but it's
incredibly
incredible.
Dedicated.
Yeah.
To you. I've never seen this kind of loyalty. It's like the Beatles or something.
It's
just
like
incredibly loyal. They're incredibly loyal.
They are. Yeah, they're very good to me, and I appreciate them a lot, and I always feel like I never tell them enough, but they mean so much. And, like, I always try to encourage them to think of themselves as a part of what I do and as a part of my YouTube channel, as a part of my presence, not just online, but also in the community in general, is that I would not be where I am without all of that support. And I think it's easy for viewers to forget that they pay such a huge contribution to the success of these people that they support so much. And I think it's important to remind them.
Today's show was produced and edited by Gregory Day. That's me. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back very shortly. See you then.